Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. We give God glory and praise and honor on this evening. We thank God for Word Wednesday. We thank God for you and you and you. To God be all the glory. We want to get right into this lesson tonight. There's some areas that I want to cover because Pastor Rebecca preached a powerful word on Sunday. With Jesus, we win. And I want to continue from that thought. With Jesus, we win. We really do win with Jesus. Sometimes the enemy would have us so boxed in and so many things going on that failing and losing look like it's going to be the inevitable. But with Jesus, you and I always win. Let us pray and get right into this lesson tonight. Father, we thank you. We thank you for getting us to this point safely. We thank you for angels ascending and descending. We thank you in the name of Jesus for the body of Christ. Thank you, God, for New Creation Church and even those that tuned in tonight to hear the Bible study lesson. God, help us to grow in your word, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, so that we can strengthen our spirits, mature in the things of God, and develop so that we can reach our destinations and our destiny and our purpose, our assignment in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. The first thing, Bible book we are going to, a book that we do not visit very often, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. Paul found the church at Thessalonica, and he writes two epistles, two letters to the church, and there's some wonderful godly insight that we see here. And in the end, when we get to the last verse that I may try to recite from, we're going to see that Jesus, who is really the author and finisher of our faith, but there's so many things here pertaining and relating to Christian living. Because the Bible says, work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. And as we know, with Jesus, we win. There's some things that the enemy, and we're going to look at some scriptures, that the enemy tries to counter or counterattack us with to get us off course or to become a smokescreen or distraction or interference. But let's see what Paul writes to the church. They're a new church, they're a growing church, they're a thriving church, but he gave them basic instructions as they found this new place in Christ on how they should do Christian living. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse number 12, he says this, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in the love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support those who are weak, be patient toward all men." Wow, that's a mouthful. Warn those that are out of the will of God, comfort those who have troubled minds, support those who are weak, and be patient with everybody. Verse 15, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." He says, don't do evil for evil. And I'm going to read through these next few very quickly, because there's just so much here. "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." Don't even be with folk, or don't even be in situations that look evil, look wrong. Verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful, that's the verse I wanted to get to as we talk about with Jesus we win. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. That's one thing I need you to get, and I need myself to get down in my spirit on tonight. That even when we're not faithful, even sometimes when we miss it, even every now and again when we get misled or lose our footing or lose our way, even losing our faithfulness toward the things of God, serving, giving, praying, reading, meditating, believing, trusting. The Bible says that Jesus will always be faithful. Glory be to God. That is comforting to me. It's not a green light to sin. It's not okay to just continue to mess up because God's going to cover it through his grace anyway. No, that's not what the writer is saying. What he is saying is if you do your best, God will do the rest through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, let's go here because I want to get into this tonight. Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14. Again, I pray you got pen and paper. There's some principles and some thoughts I just want to go through and kind of recite tonight. But Matthew chapter 14, we see the miracle of the two fish and five loaves here, along with Peter walking on water, Jesus walking on water. And let's just read it because there is just so much here with Jesus we win. Because I'm so glad that we get to see this, how it unfolds. Because there are certain things that God will allow you to see and witness and encounter and experience to increase your faith and your trust in him. Let's just read. Matthew chapter 14, let's start at verse number 14. Matthew 14, verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or something to eat. But Jesus said unto them, they need not to depart. You give them to eat. I love Jesus, how he tries to get things across and how he challenges our thinking. Verse number 17. And they say unto him, we have here but five loaves and two fishes. He said, bring them to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the five loaves and the two fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed, he broke, and he gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. Oh, my God. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides the women and the children. Keep a pen there, keep a bookmark there, because we're going to pick it up in verse number 22. But let's just share some light on a few verses that I just read, verse 14 to 21. Multitudes come out in a wilderness, in a desert, deserted place, because they were so intrigued and so fascinated and so amazed by this new doctrine that Jesus was speaking. Y'all remember the Mount, Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter number 5, chapter number 6, chapter number 7. We may go there because that's in my notes tonight. We may not get there. But he goes on to preach, blessed are you when this happens. Blessed are you when that happens. Blessed are you when this happens. Going totally against the world's way of thinking. But Jesus says we are blessed when we're persecuted for his sake. He says, blessed are you when you are meek. Meek means knowing that you can do something, but you choose not to do it. You have strength to do it. You have the ability to do it. You have the wisdom to do it, but you take the lower road and don't exercise that because maybe it's for a good reason. You're the meek. Doesn't mean that you're weak. Means that you're meek. He says the meek will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hunger and thirsting after righteousness, for they will be fulfilled. And these things begin to make sense to the spirit of man. So thousands and thousands begin to follow Jesus wherever he went. If you read the previous verse, verse number 13, it said they followed him on foot out of the city. On foot. Not on camels, not on donkeys, not on animals. They were on the hot sand. They were following Jesus wherever he went. So it's getting late. And the disciples said, Jesus, it's getting late. It's getting dark. And we haven't fed all these people. They're hearing the word. They're blessed by the word. And Jesus is so wise, so anointed. And he gives us a clue tonight that sometimes we want to just begin to give people the spiritual, the invisible, the Christian doctrine, where sometimes God is saying, no, I need you to meet them at a natural level. I need you to meet them in an earthly area. He tells Nicodemus in John chapter number 3, if I tell you about earthly things and you don't believe me, how can I dare begin to speak to you about invisible, spiritual, heavenly things? And God is saying to you and I tonight, sometimes we just got to do the earthly things right or try to get the earthly things right. Love people. Be kind to people. Forgive people. Serve and help people. Be nicer to people. Amen. These are the things that helped me because some of you know my testimony, how I came into the things of God. I wasn't a mean, evil, vindictive person, but I wasn't the warmest person. I can surely tell you that about my natural personality. Like many people that come into the kingdom, that come into the church from out of the world. Because the world would make you selfish. The world would make you, I'm a just do me. I'm going to worry about me and mine. The world will make you self-righteous. I'm going to look out for me. That's the world way. But when you come into the kingdom, he says, esteem others higher than yourself. Glory be to God. He says here, you feed them. And they say, well, we only got 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. He said, bring it to me. The Bible says, church, in verse number 19, he tells them to sit on the grass. In other words, get ready, expect something good to happen. Oh, my God. Sit, relax, get in a posture of expectation because you are about to experience a miracle. My God. God is telling somebody tonight, stop stressing. Stop worrying yourself silly. Stop sitting up late at night, worrying about that child, worrying about those bills. Stop wringing your hands together. The Bible says we can't add nothing by worrying. And he says here, sit on the grass. And the Bible says people of God, as they brought the fish and the loaves to him, he lifted this up to heaven. He break it. No, he blessed it, and then he break it. He blessed it, and then he break it. He blessed it, and then he break it. Oh, my God. And as he kept doing this, oh, glory be to God, he gave it to his disciples, and they kept feeding the multitude. Jesus would bless it. Jesus would break it. Jesus would give it to them. And this kept going on until 5,000 men, not including the women and the children, were fed. And then they had fragments left over that they filled up 12 baskets full of food that was left over. Glory be to God. And that's what God is saying to us tonight as we're talking about winning with Jesus. Sometimes brokenness is not a curse, but it can be a blessing. He has break you to make you. God will break you to make you. Sometimes in our brokenness, we have empathy for people. We have more compassion for people. We can relate to people more. Hallelujah. As I went through my cancer battle for 2 years, now when I hear someone diagnosed, glory be to God, whose tumor is malignant, glory be to God, I can relate. Whether they're at the beginning stage of their process, whether they're in the middle of it, or whether they're coming out of that storm, I have empathy. Glory be to God. I now have compassion. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I now can relate to those who have been dealing with this deadly, dreadful, ugly disease called cancer. I've been divorced before. Someone who is divorced, looking for another relationship, looking to get into a better relationship, looking to maybe to be married again. That one of a blended family. I've been broken in these areas. I can relate. That's why the Bible says don't get a novice to lead you. Just because they can preach, just because they have an anointing, just because they have certain giftings from God, it doesn't mean that they're called to shepherd. Because you have to have a pastor's heart. You have to have compassion. The Bible says Jesus saw the multitude and he had compassion on them. I know what it's like to be down. I know what it's like to be unemployed. I know what it's like to have cars repossessed. I know what it's like to go through judgments. Glory be to God. I know what it's like to be fired from a job. So winning with Jesus is something I know about. We win with him. I know what it's like to be down, being on my mother's floor, not even sleeping in the bed, and getting back on my feet, renting the apartment beneath my mother, now owning a home for the last 21, 22 years. I know what it's like to bounce back. And that's what God is saying to somebody today. Be encouraged. I don't know where you are in life. I don't know how the devil tried to knock you down and knock you out. I don't know if you're in between jobs or if you're trying to start a business. You're trying to secure a mortgage. You're trying to come up with the tuition to go back to college. Wherever you are, you win with Jesus. Oh, my God. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost on this line tonight because I know God is talking to me and I know God is talking to you that we win with Jesus. There are so many people trying to do life without Jesus. There are so many people, whether they're hospitalized, in prison, facing court, facing major surgery, just trying to make ends meet, just trying to survive. Don't do it without Jesus. My God. Now, sometimes our brokenness is not a curse, but it is a blessing because it softens your heart. And now you can relate to people that go through. You can relate to people who's lost and confused in their minds. Because some of us have the same behavior that we see in others that we don't like today. We were sometimes mean. We were sometimes angry. We were sometimes confused, sometimes cold and distant. And now we should be able to have a little empathy and a little sympathy for those who are going through, for whatever reason they're going through. When you see a behavior that's not of God, sometimes people are just going through. And that's why, you know, when I read Thessalonians, it said, be good to everybody. Be patient with everyone, because we never know what people are walking through and what people are going through. Glory be to God. Pastor Rebecca, I thank God for my beautiful wife. We celebrate our anniversary this weekend, and she just walked in. And I love her even more today than I did 25 years ago. Hallelujah. I tell y'all, we went with Jesus. That's my message tonight. My wife preached that message on Sunday. We win with Jesus. So as we celebrate 23 years of marriage this Saturday, it's all through the grace and love of Jesus that he had for us. On our wedding day, the officiating Elder Barlow said to Anthony, do you know Jesus? I said, yes, I know him as my Lord and Savior. Pastor Rebecca? No, it wasn't Pastor Rebecca back then. It was Rebecca. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Rebecca responded, yes, I do. And all of our audience, family and coworkers and friends and colleagues, they heard us confessing Christ publicly. And we are still together all these years later. Thank God for grace. Verse number 22, I wanted to stay here in this story. He fed the multitude with 2 fish and 5 loaves. He gave them a miracle. He broke it and he gave it to them. And now look at verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before them unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea, or walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway, or immediately, Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they were in the ship, came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Jesus now, after the 2 fish and 5 loaves miracle, now I'm talking about we winning with Jesus. He allowed the multitude. That's why I said sometimes in the natural, it doesn't say that all these 5,000 men, not including women and children, it doesn't say that they put their faith in Jesus after this encounter. But I'm believing after that miracle, trust me, the multitudes put their faith in Jesus. And that's what we need to do, keep our faith in Jesus. Now, he's praying. He tells the disciples to go to the other side. There's a storm. The wind is boisterous. And in the fourth watch, when it looked like it's hopeless and it's not going to end well, Jesus comes to them walking on the water. And they get so afraid, they thought it was a ghost or a spirit. And they cried out. And then Jesus said immediately, don't be afraid, it is me. Remember, they left him. He sent the multitude away. He began to pray. And now he's coming to them. Peter says, if it's you, tell me to come. Peter comes. Peter walks on the water. He's walking on water. Then the wind begins to stir up. The waves begin to stir up. Peter takes his focus off of Jesus. He begins to drown, sink, and then Jesus saved him. And he said, where was your faith? Oh, you have little faith. So number one, Peter gets to see this miracle, that he can walk on water, do the impossible. Then number two, Jesus saves him from drowning or killing himself. So Jesus is proving to them that even after I depart, you guys need to remember this moment on the sea where, number one, y'all saw me walking on the water. Number two, y'all saw the miracle of the two fish and five loaves. And number three, Peter, the 11 that stayed in the boat, witness you doing something humanly impossible by walking on water. And God is saying to us tonight, even as we put and keep our faith in Jesus until we meet him face to face, things will happen in life. That's why I had to speak last week about unshakable faith. There are things that will happen in life that will try to get you off course, get you out of church, get you out of the will of God, get you out of believing in the Bible, take your faith away from you, shake you to your very core. But don't let life do that to you. The devil is a great deceiver. He's a great trickster. He's a fraud. He's a fake. That's what the word fear, the acronym of fear, false evidence appearing real. God has not given you that spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. But I want to close out here with this thought. These two, as they reached land, that miracle of feeding the multitude, the miracle of walking on the water, the miracle of Jesus saving Peter from drowning, the miracle was saving them from this storm that was a tempest, and they all could have drowned. Even before the resurrection, they began to put their faith in Jesus because they experienced this night. And God is saying to you, I don't know your God encounters. I don't know everything that you've been through with God, but I know enough about my God to know that he ministers to all of us in different ways. He says, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. Glory be to God. Keep your faith in Jesus and watch the distractions. Watch this. Go to Nehemiah. Nehemiah had to stay so focused because the haters begin to come out of the woodwork. Nehemiah is doing a great work. And the enemy tried to send a distraction his way, but Nehemiah stayed focused. And you and I sometimes just need to stay. I preached a message years ago called Focused Faith. I'll never forget the message because as I prepared the message, it helped me. Because sometimes our faith wavers. We go back and forth. And last week we talked about a double-minded man being unstable in all of his ways. And when we doubt, when we're double-minded, when we operate in unbelief, it's hard to keep that focused faith. But watch this. Nehemiah chapter number 6. Nehemiah had to stay so focused because people started coming at him. He's doing a great work by rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. He got favor from the king. The king gave him an escort and army to watch over him. They gave him all the wood he needed from the forest to rebuild the wall. The king gave him money, gave him tools, gave him supplies, because Nehemiah was a cupbearer, but he was a child of God. He now has a prominent position in the kingdom. But even though he had a prominent position, he did not forget his God, and he did not forget God's people. Glory be to his name. When God elevates you, when God gives you money, when God gives you promotion, when God gives you influence, when God gives you power, when God gives you opportunity, it is to advance the kingdom. He said, I bless you to establish my covenant. Glory be to God. So we are blessed to become a blessing. Oh, did y'all hear me? Many of us understand this principle already. That's why you come every Tuesday. You come every Wednesday. You're not taking life for granted because you know that God gave it to you. The Bible says every good thing comes from above. Everything good came from above. I said everything good. Every good gift comes from above, the Bible says. So if you have anything good in your life, God gave it to you. How can a man receive anything unless it's been given to him? That's the word. So as we went with Jesus, look at Nehemiah chapter number 6. Now it came to pass when Sanballat, that's one hater, and Tobiah, that's another hater, and Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of the enemies, they were all enemies and haters of Nehemiah and the people of God, heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach therein, though all the time I had not set down the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ona. But they thought to do me harm. Are y'all listening to God? But they thought to do me mischief. He's building a wall. He's the leader. And they say, come down. Let's talk. Let's find a place to meet. Look at verse number 3. And I sent messengers unto him, saying, I am doing a great work, glory be to God, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? Oh, my God. Man, the enemy would try to use some people to get you off track. Nehemiah said, I am doing a great work. Why should the work stop while I come down and waste time on your nonsense? That's my interpretation. And God is saying to you tonight, as you rebuild your life, as you build your faith, as you build your family, as you build your finances, as you begin to build your future back, as you begin to build the things that matter to you, your reputation, your name, your career, your character, don't let people get in the way of what God is doing in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And sometimes, just like in the days of Nehemiah, they tried to distract him. And then, watch this, when he said, I'm not coming down, I'm not going to stop the work, I'm not going to come down and deal with y'all nonsense because I know y'all hating on me, I know y'all mean to do me harm. Look at verse number 4. Yet they sent unto him 4 times the same sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Are you hearing God tonight? They would not stop. Sometimes people won't go away easily. Glory be to God. Sometimes evil will try to be persistent. Sometimes you just have to be patient and walk in love always. Walk in the Spirit always. Walk in understanding, wisdom, and kedavoshata, and knowledge always. Look at verse number 5. Then sent Sembalit, his servant, unto me in like manner the fifth time now, with an open letter in his hand. First he come four times, saying, come on, let's talk, let's meet. Nehemiah kept saying, no, man, I'm not coming down. No, I'm not going to waste time. No, I'm too busy. No, I don't have time. And now he's coming with a letter. And in this letter, he reports that I'm going to go back to the king. Now, mind you, the king gave Nehemiah favor. The king loves Nehemiah. The king asked Nehemiah, how long is it going to take? Because you're my cupbearer. Mind you, the cupbearer was the one that drank before it was given to the king, because in that day, people would try to poison the king by putting poison in his food and in his wine. And Nehemiah would first taste the wine. He was the cupbearer. He would put his life on the line for the king. And this king became Nehemiah's friend. Now Sembalit, who is a prominent man also in the kingdom, Tobias, who is also a leader in the kingdom, they get together with more enemies and they say, we got this letter and we're going to tell the king that you're up to no good. You're planning a rebellion. You're trying to reunite the kingdom of God, the children of Israel. This is why I say we went with Jesus. If you stay focused, all things are possible for those of us who stay with God. And sometimes we just got to stay focused. Stay locked in to what God is doing and what God is accomplishing. Let's look at James chapter number 5. With Jesus, we win is what we're talking about tonight. James chapter 5, we quote this a lot on the prayer line, but God is telling me to go to it tonight because Jesus is right here at the heart of what James is saying. Because y'all know that the one that wrote this letter, James, he is the brother of Jesus. This James right here who wrote these five books in the book of James, five chapters in the book of James, is Jesus' brother. And he gives such great wisdom here. In the book of James, chapter number 5, we'll start at verse number 13. Let's start at verse number... Wow. Thank you, Lord. Verse number 10. Let's start at verse number 10. James 5, verse number 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and let your no be no, unless you fall into condemnation. I'm going to stop there, but I do want to get to verse 13 very quickly. He's saying here, even in the day where sometimes people won't keep their word, we're living in that day where integrity and character is lacking in so many people's lives. And sometimes people will give you their word only to break their word. People will make you a promise only to break that promise. People will say, oh, I'm committed to you. I'm committed to that church. I'm committed to the vision. I'm committed to your business. I'm committed to you, only to look up and sometimes see the support that you thought would be there not being there. But he tells you and I, honor your words that you speak. If you're going to do it, say you're going to do it, follow through. If you're not going to do it, don't say you're going to do it and be upfront with people. Because he said, if we do that, we won't be condemned. Verse number 13, James write this. Listen to what James says. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any among you merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now watch. Verse 15 is how we win with Jesus. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord, and who? Jesus. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed. And earnestly, it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which convert the sinner from his error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. When we see people backslide, when we see people falling away, when we see people losing their way, those of us that stay in church, those of us that stay in the scripture, those of us that believe in God, those of us that still read the word, those of us who still call on the name, the Bible says when you see the backslider, when you see the person falling into sin, deceived by the devil, when you see somebody losing their way, our job is not to judge them. Our job is not to criticize them. Our job is to pray for them. Hallelujah. Our job is to believe and love and come alongside them and try to get them back right with God. Hallelujah. Speak lovingly to people. Be compassionate. Have concern and care in your voice, and that gets people attention. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says, Jesus still will lift the sick up. Jesus still will save the sinner. Jesus still will deliver that one who is afflicted. It said, those who are afflicted, let them pray for themselves first. Those who are sick, bring to the elders of the church the anointing with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and the sick shall recover. I just believe in healing. My God. Take your medicine. If you're scheduled for surgery, follow through. Follow your doctor's orders. But you and I must remain and continue to believe in the supernatural healing of God. The supernatural power of God. I don't care how dark it gets. I don't care how we feel and what we think we know, what the doctors think they know. Jesus is still a healer. Jesus is still a deliverer. Jesus is still a restorer. Amen. Come on, somebody. Jesus is still a way maker. Jesus is still, hallelujah, the answer. Jesus is still the one that we need to get the job done. In the name of Jesus. So, we win with Jesus. Yes, we do. Oh, yes, we do. We win with him every time. There's so many scriptures that I have in my notes. I know I can't get to them all, but hopefully I can get to these last two. This first one, let's go here. Acts chapter number 3. I love going through the Bible. I pray that you're getting more familiar with your word. Pastor Anthony, you were in Nehemiah. You were in Thessalonians. Now you're in the book of Acts. We just left the book of James. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. I wanted to go back to the old book of Isaiah and then back to the Gospel of Matthew because we need to get familiar with the Word of God. And the reason I want to show you Peter and John right here, remember we started with the two fish and five loaves miracle. Peter walking on water. Now, it's not the same miracle, but the miracles that you and I do experience, those miracles lead us to believe that Jesus can perform even more miracles. Amen? Acts chapter 3, verse number 1. Man, I see so much here, but Acts 3, verse 1, but back up to Acts chapter number 2. We're going to back up two verses. Back up to verse number 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord, there's Jesus again, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Jesus, send them into new creation. Glory be to God. Jesus, send them into Cloud 9 Ministries. Glory be to God. Jesus, send the multitude in. Hallelujah. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And we're praying for laborers, hallelujah, to come into New Creation Church. We're praying for more laborers in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate and the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask of alms or money from them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and leaping and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat at the gate of alms at the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened unto him. We win with Jesus. Here's a paralyzed man laid at the gate, asking and begging for money every day of his life. He could not walk. Peter and John are going to pray. Because they saw so many miracles when Jesus walked the earth. Because they saw so many miracles, hallelujah, when Jesus was with them. Now Jesus is ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And now they are human beings on their own. And he says in Acts chapter number 1, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Dunamis, explosive, dynamite power. And now they're about to put it to the test. Glory be to God. They're about to put the word to the test. And they see a paralyzed man. Because y'all remember that man was paralyzed by the pool at the four pillars. Hallelujah. And Jesus healed him. He was paralyzed. Now Peter and John is believing God for this miracle. And they said, money we don't have. Silver and gold we don't have. We don't have medical expertise. But what we do have, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. I said there's power in the name. Oh, glory be to God. Are you listening to God tonight? There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, and I'm almost closing, that they use the name. And this man got a miracle. God is saying to you tonight as I close out, we got to use the name. We got to plead the blood of Jesus. We have to use the word of God. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They said, silver and gold we do not have, but at the name of Jesus, paralyzed man, get up and walk. And he began to leap, he began to walk, and he began to praise God. Final scripture, we'll close out right here. I'm not going to elaborate, but I need you to see it. I'm going to close out in prayer very quickly. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. The book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The book of Philippians, chapter number 4, beginning at verse number 6. Philippians 4, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore to be content. Verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Finally, verse number 19, but my God shall supply all of my needs and your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Everything points back to Jesus. That's how we win. When you pray, he'll give you a peace. He may not fix it right away, but he'll give you the peace and he'll give you the power. Paul says, I'm going to be content in everything. I've had money, I've had poverty, and I've learned to be content. But he goes on to tell you why. Because he said, I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. And finally, my brother and my sister, Jesus shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight, and we praise you for the word. We really do win with you. So we thank you. You said, never will you leave us, never will you forsake us, you'll always be with us. So God, as we move forward by faith in this thing called life, we thank you that we have a helper. We have a comforter. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, leading and guiding and helping us along our Christian journey. In Jesus' name, amen. We will see you on Sunday, 1230, 1482 Maple Avenue, Hillside, New Jersey. There is a word from the Lord. I tell you, God has been moving mightily at New Creation Church. That's why I had to continue this thought. We went with Jesus. Pastor Rebecca preached that on Sunday. I pray that you maybe have seen a Facebook video, but powerful word. I went through some other scriptures tonight to reinforce what she was talking about, but we got to know that with Jesus on our side, we win. God bless you. Love you. Good night, everyone. See you Sunday. Please sow a seed into the ministry. Your faithful giving helps us to do great things for God. So we thank you. In Jesus' name, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. God bless you. Good night. In Jesus' name, amen.